Today is April 26, 2017, and this is episode number 408 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, future Airbnb guest inspector. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Yep. Hello, I am Brian Chaffin. I must come into this room right now. All of you guests, line up. I must inspect you. You on the left. Turn around. Excellent. Excellent. You on the... Ooh, sorry, you can't stay here. You do not pass my inspection. That's totally what you mean, right?
Yeah, that's totally what I meant. That's, I'm going to be a guest inspector.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, pick me.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see when the time comes.
All right, fair enough. I love how you find all these new ways to keep the mystery in our relationship.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's the best.
You're welcome. I, by the way, have done a, I did this thing. I made a new Twitter account. Made two new Twitter accounts. I made a new Twitter account.
Yeah.
GeekTales, which goes with my personal blog, geektales.com. And so I figured I'd put my political and personal and fiction oriented tweets over there, and then keep the technology stuff at TM O'Brien.
That seems like a reasonable move.
Yeah, you know, I figured that there are people who are probably interested in the tech stuff who aren't necessarily interested in my novel or interested in my political nonsense, and so yeah, I decided to do that.
It's awesome. Exciting. Yeah. So wait, I didn't have my pencil out. What were those Twitter handles again?
You're such a good wingman. GeekTales, that's my personal one, my new personal one.
Mm-hmm.
And TM O'Brien is the one I've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Awesome.
And I also made one for Mason Truman, the character in my novel.
No. Mason Truman created his own Twitter account, and Mason, it's so awesome Truman. To see him online.
Yeah, it is, and especially from the year 2139.
Yeah, well,
it's like it's magic. It's Mason Truman PI.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, any science that's advanced enough does appear as if it's magic. So
it's true. Mason is merely proof of this.
Absolutely.
Mason's Twitter account, at least.
Mason's pretty awesome. I'm so glad he's on Twitter now. I think Twitter's going to be a better place for it. You know, so yeah, we'll no pressure, that. Mason.
Yeah, no pressure. We'll see that. We'll see about that even. All right. So that's personal pimping. Do you have anything you want to personally pimp?
I have another post that I'm getting ready to put up on Fresh Brew Tales.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a good one or is it crappy?
No, I decided just screw the standards. This one's just going to be crap. I'm just phoning this one in.
Well, I can't wait to read it. I am subscribed to your blog because I like getting those notifications in email because you've typically been very bad about saying, hey, Brian, I've got a new post up.
Oh, well, now you know. But yeah. The new post that's up, I think, is like a couple weeks old. Guy that stuck his microphone to his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that one's already up. What are you talking about? A new one?
I know. I said that one's a couple weeks old. New one is coming.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that stuff. That is muy bueno. All righty. So we do have some tech news to chew over.
Oh, well, and that's stuff. This week's show.
No, don't we still get to do the chewing?
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, hey, so, Brian, what interesting tech news do we have?
This is not pre-masticated stuff, man.
Yeah. Oh, masticated. Got it.
All right. You know that thing I said earlier about you being like the best wingman? Lies. All lies.
This is how I keep you on your
captchas.
Toes.
Captchas suck. Have you noticed this?
Oh, dude, you have no idea how much I do not like captchas.
It's Google's captcha that started off, in my opinion, with so much promise. They've turned into a big pile of crap.
You know, you mean the current style of captchas they have? You thought there was a promise there?
Yeah.
Or just captchas in general?
First of all, I have to explain that when I see the acronym captcha, mm-hmm. here's how I read it.
Captcha! You know how I read it?
Do tell.
Abra, abra, cadabra. I'm going to reach out and captcha.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right. So it's, what is it actually? It actually stands for something.
Captcha! So these can't are, actually it, parse this
can't crap. It's a completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart.
Turing or Turing?
Turing.
Okay.
In my head, that's what I said. So these are the things that you'll get, like if you have to submit a form, for instance. A lot of times a form will want to know that you're not a bot. And there are a ton of different ones. I see them all the time with the Bitcoin faucets.
Yeah, like that, where they munge and squish letters into weird shapes. And you have to figure out what they are.
They'll use, you know, splashes of colors. It's the kind of thing that the human eye can usually readily figure out.
If you're not colorblind.
If you're not colorblind, and that human and the computers sometimes are computers do have trouble figuring out. Mm-hmm. And there's a new series of ones that I've been seeing on some faucets where there will be at the top of the page for the captcha, it'll be click the things in the following order, and it'll be like Roman numeral 7, 7, 5, and 2. Mm-hmm. And then down somewhere on the page there will be little links for the written word 7, 5, and 2. And you have to click them in the right order. So that's a new one that I've been seeing. But the one that got us thinking about today's show and talking about on today's show is the one that is the stuff that Google's doing. And this is where they show you a grid, usually a grid, not always a grid, but usually a grid of images. Mm-hmm. And ask you to pick the ones that say show street numbers. Or these are the most common ones. Street numbers, vehicles, street signs, and
mountains,
storefront mountains, water, and gas stations. Mm-hmm. Those are the most common ones. And I thought these showed promise because one of the things that the Google was promising is that they'll figure out if you're human and you don't always have to do this. So you click the little box and it'll remember that you're not a robot. Sometimes. And what I found is that at least the way I do all these faucets is probably because of the sheer number of captcha that I'm doing.
Kind of reach out and captcha.
That I'm triggering something in Google to make me think that I'm some kind of a bot. Yeah, they're annoying. The thing that we're going to complain about is the fact that they're wrong a lot.
Yeah, and I have to point out that your initial positive take on these, mm-hmm. I never had that ever. First time I saw them, what I said is actually more appropriate for Pop 0.0. And it turns out that I think my initial assessment has proven to be accurate.
Okay, so what was your problem with it?
When I first saw one of these pop up on my screen, and actually there was someone from Google nearby, because I was at a WordPress conference, and there were Google employees there, and I was pretty vocal about asking what this thing was on my screen, and one of the Google people explained it to me. And told me how this is going to be such a great thing. So clearly they got their talking points from you. And
well, like, to be fair, it is good for Google.
Yeah, I guess. I know. But
it's additional data points for Google. So, you know, really that's all that matters.
Yeah. But I saw it as an unnecessary obstacle for average users, and something that I didn't feel was going to function in a way that was going to really help people.
Why?
Because I just didn't trust that they were going to have the algorithms right for it to work. And it turns out they don't have it working right.
Well, why did you think that?
Because anytime you take the average user and you put something relatively complicated in front of them, like they start to do a search and all of a sudden they have to click a bunch of pictures. That is the sort of thing
but it's easier. It's language independent almost, because there are instructions, but you're going to receive the instructions in whatever language you're reading in.
Right. So you need to click all the pictures. We'll go with mountains. So you need to click all the pictures that have mountains in them, and you need to keep clicking them until they're gone. Because what happens, you click, say there's three, you click all three, those images get replaced with something else. If there's mountains in those, you have to click those. And you keep doing it until there are no more pictures with mountains.
Yeah, this is the rare version, though. Most of them, you actually just choose the, and it's always three or four of the images that meet their criteria, and they don't get switched out.
I've never had it do that. I have to click over and over and over while it keeps popping up more images.
Well, and okay.
So and then it'll say, try again and start over. And go through images after image after image, and then it'll say try again. And at that point, I say something else that's not appropriate for this show, and I pull up my iPhone, do a Google search there, and then just send myself the links that I needed.
How many times have you seen this?
This happens.
You're getting these, by the way. You're getting these on Google because you're using VPN.
Yes. Yeah.
And most people aren't going to see these on Google. Most people are going to see these when they're doing a form.
I get at least one a day.
One, okay. All right. Well, I'm doing scores, not scores. I'm doing dozens a day because of the faucets, the Bitcoin faucets that I monitor for our faucet guide. And, I think either they're doing different ones for VPN users, or you have a freakish coincidence in the ones you're getting, because the ones where the images disappear and are replaced to me are about maybe somewhere between 5 and 10% of the Google captions.
Interesting. And for me, it's 100%.
Huh.
Which adds to my frustration, because instead of performing a search that should have been 15 seconds of my life and I move on.
Yeah.
Becomes a several minute process.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, that style where you keep replacing the images, sometimes it requires, I've seen it require 10 to 15 clicks.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Or taps. And that is intensely annoying, especially when it's taking, a split second for each image to redo itself. And that to me is like a situation where Google sort of got lost sight of the humans that are actually doing this, and got lost in the magic of their own algorithms.
Yeah. Let's fade out the images that you've already clicked on. Now we'll fade new ones in. Okay. So they've wasted my time there. And then you click those images, they fade out, new ones fade in. You've wasted more of my time.
And my beef is that some of them are wrong.
Oh, I have to deal with that all the time. Yep.
And I get wrong two different ways. I get wrong where I see that I left a square out that qualifies for the criteria that they're asking for, and yet it accepts my answer. So that's a false. False negative. Mm-hmm. That's false positive. And then I'll get it from where they have asked me to do something, for instance, select signs. And I select all the squares with the sign, including the squares that have the back of a sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. It's a sign.
It's a sign. and it'll kick it back out. And the thing is that it's inconsistent. Sometimes it wants the back of the sign, and sometimes it doesn't. That inconsistency drives me nuts too. So the whole thing, though, is that this ends up taking more time to do than just reading some screwy text.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's the flip side of all this.
Okay.
The ones with the screwy test, you might not have known this, when they are under attack from because there are forces out there, criminal organizations, for instance, cheats, who are looking to break these captchas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And faucets happen to be one reason for it, because if a bot can do a faucet, the advertisers get screwed, and then the bot maker just gets to collect free bitcoins.
All right.
Right. So it's a direct money to be made, let alone, of course, being able to defeat a captcha for the sake of doing brute force attacks.
Sure.
Right. So there are forces out there trying to break these captcha systems all the time. And you'll see, like, there's one, it's called Solve Media, is a company that provides a captcha system. And I'll start seeing image after image that is impossible to decipher. These will be words that have been manipulated, twisted, presented in such a way that it's very hard to actually ascertain what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to get one that you can't figure out, and so you reload it. But when I start getting, you know, image after image after image after image after image that is impossible to figure out, it's because they're under attack by a new algorithm.
All right. Yep. I've seen those as well.
Right. And so that's one of the things that Google was trying to solve with its image-based system. They're looking for the things that the human brain cognitively sees that computers cannot see. Like the difference, like, for instance, if you're looking at a picture of a mountain range, and you're looking for at a picture of a somewhat silhouetted line of trees.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's going to be the human brain is going to be able to see which trees and which is a mountain. And computers are not going to be as good at seeing that. So that's why I thought this was such an interesting idea. Plus, the mere fact that they would remember that you are in fact a human and not a bot, that was fantastic to me. But in my experience, Google never remembers that I'm a human.
Yeah, I'm having the same experience, and it really sucks, because instead of being productive and using Google as a research tool, I've become a little click monkey that just taps on pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures, and then finally gives up and does a search from my iPhone.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So, but I don't know what the solution is. These bots, these captcha systems exist for a reason. Because people are cheats. Some people are cheats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are there to deal with a very active minority.
Exactly, and a very costly minority. Mm-hmm. And they cost all of the rest of us time and effort and annoyance. And that sucks. But we, you know, the people, the companies that are providing these captcha systems need to try to think differently about it, to try to stay ahead of the bots, because, you know, now you can apply machine learning. It's easier and easier for the bad guys to apply machine learning to being able to crack these captcha systems.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they can apply some of their botnets of compromised Windows machines to the problem
of solving these
captchas.
Well, considering the work that a lot of companies are doing on image recognition,
mm-hmm. There's that too. Yeah,
and machine learning. I'm expecting it's not going to be too much longer before
Google's find the mountains or find the storefront captchas become ineffective.
Well, this is why I think you're seeing, Jeff, the harder and harder ones to do. I think that Google's having to amp up the difficulty level to stay ahead of the bots, to stay ahead of the enemy.
Does this mean I'm failing a Voight Kampff test?
Maybe. If anyone comes knocking at your door, don't answer.
No kidding. Well, unless they're wearing like a see-through raincoat.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it's another.
But well, that didn't end well either. So yeah, I just won't open the door.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. That's probably the best way to do it. So anyway, the point is that these captchas are annoying. They're there for a reason. Google, to me, is losing sight of their own goal here with theirs.
Yeah, it feels like they have forgotten, at least on some level, that there are actual humans involved.
With time, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got one right now with mountains.
Oh, sweet.
This is on a faucet, but I'll stick a link to the Bitcoin faucet guide that I've put together if you're interested in Bitcoin faucets. I'll stick that in the show notes.
You've put a lot of work into that. People should know about it. Do it.
And a lot of people. It's one of the most popular articles that we've ever done.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah, because basically what I do is I monitor these Bitcoin faucets and then I keep track of the ones that actually pay. And keep the guide updated with, you know, how much they're paying and whether or not they actually pay and whether or not they go offline. I've got a couple I need to mark as having gone offline.
All right. Well, I love the fact that you do stay on top of that.
It's fun to me. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Sorry about the captchas, though.
Captcha!
Gonna reach out and captcha.
It's so funny that we both have our own little thing going on in the back of our head.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Some people use the word funny.
Yeah, LOL nerds are funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid captchas.
Alrighty, so we have another topic. Now, this one we should have talked about exactly how to present this before we did the show.
Yeah, well, that would involve preparation.
Yeah, preparation, which we don't do,
and we are, after all, top men.
Yeah, right, exactly. And but here's the deal. Let's there's a rather dark subject here. And this is the subject of, I don't want to ruin anybody's day. So I'm going to speak about this sort of indirectly and euphemistically.
Okay.
A couple of events have taken place in the last 10 days on maybe 2 weeks on Facebook where horrific acts were videoed and in one case, videoed and put on Facebook, and in the other case, live streamed on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And these are horrific acts that are of illegal, shockingly illegal activities. And in the first case, when a man a video of a murder was put on Facebook. We'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. It was up for a couple of hours before Facebook removed it. Mm-hmm. And there's a new one, the new situation that came out of Thailand yesterday that is just even more horrific. And it was up on Facebook for 24 hours before Facebook responded to a Thai ministry request. Right.
And that one involved a homicide as well.
Correct. And
these aren't the first incidents like this on Facebook.
No, well, no, they're not the first incidences like that. There were actually some other, there was I don't want to ruin anybody's day. There have been some horrific
things. They've happened before. That suffices.
Yeah, true villains have posted video content to see here. I'm doing it. Good Lord, have posted videos to Facebook. And there have been issues with Facebook taking it down, and you know, and there's complicated. I mean, like you know, there's so much stuff that goes up on Facebook. The vast majority of it never gets any kind of human okay before it gets posted, and probably can't if we're going to live in a real time world, or if it's going to be a real time service. But here's the deal. I got to find the quote. And again, you know, please note that
top men.
Yeah, that we don't actually prep. Here is what Facebook said, and this is what sent me off the deep end. They said something similar to the first one. This particular Facebook statement was made after the situation that happened in Thailand this week, and Facebook said, "This is an appalling incident." My blood pressure is spiking even now. This is an appalling incident, and our hearts go out to the family of the victim. Okay, that's great. That's a lovely sentiment.
And the appropriate thing for them to say.
That's very appropriate. I don't have any problem with that. It's the second one that really freaks me out. Quote, "There is absolutely no place for content of this kind on Facebook, and it has now been removed." And here's the frickin' thing. Snuff films are not content. And this isn't content. This isn't frickin' content. This is a tragedy. This is someone's frickin' life. This is a horribly depraved or sick individual who has done something horrific and put it up on Facebook. And it's not freaking content. And the problem here is that Facebook looks at our lives as content. And this surveillance capitalist crap, where they look at our freaking lives as content to be consumed, is the root of the problem here. And this is Facebook being so lost within its sick and depraved outlook on who we are, who the product is, and what they're selling, that they could call a snuff film content, that frickin' pisses me off.
You know, you nailed the foundation, the core problem here, which is that Facebook and other social networks look at everything in our lives as content. It's not memories. It's not activities. It's not
private communications. It's content.
It's content. So when we go to a family member's birthday party and post a picture of the cake, that's not a memory. From our perspective, of course it is. And it's a special moment. From Facebook's perspective and any other social network, that's content. You fall and scrape your leg, or I think I posted a photo once a few years ago when a car hit me when I was on my bike, and I was showing part of my leg which had some blood on it, and you know that was a scary incident, but to Facebook, that's just content. And yeah, you know, the human aspect has been removed from what they're doing.
Yeah, well, the personal and private aspect has been removed too. And just the notion that they would refer to a snuff film as content freaks me out. Not only that, but one, and I may be projecting too much here, but when they call something like that content and they say that there's no place for it on Facebook, it implies that there is a place for it somewhere. Maybe that's not what they meant to imply, but their entire freaking outlook on our lives implies that this is just content that, you know, doesn't belong here.
But there's another venue where it is appropriate. I hadn't even thought about it from that perspective. Now it just got really creepy for me.
And again, I know that that's not what they meant, But the problem is that they look at our lives as freaking content. The correct thing to have said, in my not at all humble opinion, is that there is absolutely no place for people to disseminate vile and illegal acts. Human tragedy will not be exploited on Facebook. That's what they should have said. That's what they should have said. We will not be a platform for people to spread human misery, human tragedy, something along those lines. But there is absolutely no place for. And this is I started thinking about this after the incident in Cleveland when they said something very similar. There's no place for content of this kind. Mm-hmm. Right. And I started thinking about then. I didn't write it. I sort of cooled down. But the fact that they did it again, this is part and parcel of Facebook's warped view of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Big problem that Facebook will not be able to overcome, because it's at the core of what their business model is. We are the product. And when we as users are the product, when our memories and the things we say, the things we share online are the product, it's very easy to remove the humanity from that. And I believe that's exactly what's going on here. And even though the people that work at Facebook get that someone posting a picture, that's someone's life. There's a whole world that those people have never experienced before, except to see this one photo of a stranger go up online. That's humanity. That's the magic of life, whatever's going on. But the company as a whole has lost sight of the fact, or maybe never had that vision, that the people that are posting these images, these videos and these comments are real people with real lives. They are not simply a product creating merchandise, creating content that can be packaged, resold, and resold again.
At the root of that problem is our, and I'm including me in this, our desire to get stuff for free, for what we perceive as free.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole notion of all of these, especially the social media services, but not just those social media services, all the quote unquote free app and free service culture ecosystem that has arisen, where people look for people try to grow a service by having it be free, and then people use it, and then they somehow monetize the information that's being supplied to said service. That is at the heart of this. I mean, like if Facebook would allow me to pay and be to pay to use Facebook and be excluded from their data collection, I would do it. You know, one of the things I've asked for is for Google to allow me to pay and be excluded from their advertising machine.
That would be awesome, but I don't see them ever doing that.
Well, they've kind of done it. They've kind of done it on YouTube. Kind of.
Yes.
You can pay and not see ads, but you're still going to be part of their data collection.
Right.
And so now you're paying to be the product.
Yes, you're paying to be the product. Yep.
Because they're going to take the information of what you're watching, and that's still going to be part of your overall Google profile, so that it can be sold to other advertisers.
Right. And they're not going to do the same for their search platform, because we're far too valuable as the product. And the money they would get out of us if we paid them to not be tracked and not see all the ads, it's not worth it to them.
Yeah, I think it's less about the actual ads we see on Google in that case. I think it's more about the ads that can be shown to us everywhere that Google has a reach. That's the real issue.
Oh yeah.
But at least we have the option of watching YouTube. I mean, that's a step. We have the option of paying Google to use YouTube. And of course, along with not seeing ads on everyday videos, you get access to the various premium content that is available only to subscribers. Yeah, similar to Netflix or Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, folks, my advertising pays a big chunk of my living. My thought here, I don't hate all ads. What I hate is the growing culture of having us be the product.
That's a different thing than liking or disliking ads.
And there is clear, even if you just want to look at just advertising being displayed, there is such a thing as too much advertising. I personally think that we do a great job of that at TMO of not having too much advertising. Your mileage may vary, of course. Everyone's mileage will vary on that, but I think we do a really good job of not having too much advertising.
And we don't do obtrusive advertising. When you go to a website and the first thing you get hit with is something that says, answer this quick survey to see the article. Well, you're gone.
Or
you get a full window pop-up that's some sort of ad and probably a video ad that plays audio and you can't stop it. You're going to be out.
Yeah.
And then when you're partway through an article, you start getting more pop-ups.
Yeah, I don't mind interstitials. I don't mind interstitials to a certain extent. But there's definitely too much of that. And I don't like autoplay videos, especially with audio.
Yeah, autoplay videos turn me off.
If you see one of those on TMO, it's because one snuck in via a remnant service.
And if you do see it, let us know.
Yeah, we end up blocking those.
Yeah.
We don't like them either. don't like them either. We're not going to foist them off on you. So I'm not bagging on all advertising. And to a certain extent, there is something good about targeted advertising. There are good aspects of targeted advertising. It's just the broader culture of surveillance capitalism has become so pervasive and so pernicious that it is becoming a problem. And this situation with Facebook is just the latest and most poignant and most disgusting example of this.
Yep. I'm not really crying. I muted so I could sneeze.
I see. I actually thought we might have gotten disconnected for a second.
No, and I am to a degree crying, but it's only because I sneeze so hard.
I've heard your sneezes, so that's saying something. This is a problem to me, and I would like it if people yelled and screamed at Facebook for calling snuff films content. I'm gonna be writing an editorial today.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
And I want backlash for this. Facebook, we didn't write about it, but Facebook has got this thing where they can figure out our personality based on our likes. Well, you know what? Screw you, Facebook. Don't do that. I don't care if you can do it. Learn the difference, Mark Zuckerberg, between what you can do and what you should do.
You know, here's another problem we have. There are a lot of people that have created big and successful businesses based around our information. And I think a lot of these people that have created these businesses aren't old enough to have the life experience to make that distinction in a meaningful way between
also
what you can do and what you should do.
Also, I would like, please, all young people to get the crap off my lawn.
Yeah. Unless they're going to be a product you can sell, in which case, giddy up.
Now, you know, it's true, and it's easy. You know, I'm always on guard against being the old guy who literally, you know, is yelling at the kids to get off his lawn, or, you know, or figuratively yelling at the kids to get off his lawn. I want to, you know, I think we even talked about the thing with the woman, and she's got the rap music is no good. And yeah, her parents said that about her music, but the difference was her music was good. I mean, you know, like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, I'm always on guard against that sort of thing, but So part of this, Jeff, may be that we're just resistant to the way kids want to live their lives. Kids are fine with being the product. By kids, I'm talking millennials and younger. All right. The oldest millennials are, you know, 32, 33 years old now. Mm-hmm. You know, theoretically aren't kids. So some of this may be that that they're perfectly fine with this. And they don't give a crap. As long as it's free, as long as they don't have to pay for it, they don't care if they're the product.
I think that's a big factor for at least a lot of people.
So when you've got people like that making the decisions about how to do business, right? So this may be just a situation where we're the old dudes who, you know, LOL old guys.
That's always a real possibility. But okay, here's another aspect of this, because when you have this sort of discussion with some people, their response is, then just don't use social networks. And on one hand, okay, that's the easy answer. But the problem is that social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different services, these are part of regular communication now. So in some ways, it's like telling someone in the 1970s, just don't have a phone.
Yeah. Or even the 60s or 50s.
Right. But I didn't want to go back too far because, you know, some of the kids, they wouldn't believe us if we said there were telephones in the 1970s.
Or that there was ever a time before telephones.
Or that there was a time before telephones.
You can take either way you want on that. Yeah, it's true. Or like some pig-headed politician, Republican, who tells us that we just need to that we need to not use the internet. That you know, there's no privacy and screw you. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It's just
yeah. And there was someone in the last couple months said poor people just shouldn't get cell phone or smartphones, which is just horribly insensitive and callous on so many levels, and shows their ignorance to the world and life. Yeah, because for a lot of people, the only communication tool they have, the only connection point they have for speaking with family, for hunting for a job, or even doing their work, is that smartphone in their pocket. And saying, oh, well, you just don't buy that. That's ridiculously myopic. And okay, here's another problem we have. We have a group of people, part of our society, that's young enough that us as the product is just something they've essentially grown up with. And we have another segment of the population that's old enough that they're completely disconnected in many cases and don't understand why the simple off-the-cuff knee-jerk reactions or solutions, I'm doing air quote solutions, that they offer up are completely ridiculous.
Yeah, you've got the people who are older than us making policy. And you've got people younger than us who are coming up with the business ideas. And in between, we get screwed.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong? All right. In the meanwhile, we're not content, and snuff films aren't content. And screw Facebook, and screw frickin' Facebook, and screw surveillance capitalism. I wish Apple would release a search engine that was not based on advertising.
Like DuckDuckGo.
Like DuckDuckGo.
You know,
and put the hurt on Google.
I love DuckDuckGo. The problem that I have is that I can't consistently get the search results that I actually need, because I'm assuming it's because their database, their corpus, what their magic smarts pool, whatever it is,
their resources,
they're not as extensive as Google.
No, so, nowhere close.
Yeah,
and Google is really good at the search. That's the thing. There are so many great things about what Google does. The technology that Google has come up with is fantastic.
They do
some amazing things. In some ways, Google is one of the best things that has ever happened to humanity. And on the other hand, Google's one of the worst things that has ever happened to humanity.
Yeah, and it's like George Lucas with Star Wars. He's the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish Larry Page is a genius and Sergey is a genius. Sergey Brin, that's mm-hmm. the two co-founders. And then, of course, Eric Schmidt is the creepy old dude that they got to shepherd them into becoming multi-billionaires. And Larry and Sergey in particular, well, I mean, Eric Schmidt is brilliant too. He just is. He wasn't the idea guy. And Larry and Sergey are, and they're doing some of the stuff that they're doing. They are pushing the envelope on driverless cars. And they are pushing the envelope. They're working on flying cars. The stuff they were doing with glass was ahead of its time and flawed by the mere Google concept.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, we're not talking about like a window you look through. We're talking about the eyewear, their AR project, Google Glass. Yes.
The wearable computing AR project, right? And I mean, on and on and on. Some of the services that they've come up with that have been part of the Google search engine have been absolutely amazing. I mean, really, the technology behind their CAPTCHA system is fascinating, and it was really thinking differently. Whether or not it's gotten to a place where we don't like it is another issue, but the concept behind it, there's a lot of very extensive machine learning behind that. The mm-hmm. things that Google is doing with machine learning are astounding. There are things putting all of that information to use with Google Now.
Yep,
astounding. But you've just got all this other baggage where they are spying on us. It's surveillance capitalism, watching everything we do and then profiting from that. And it's just, man. Have you seen The Circle yet?
No, I've heard it's an intriguing movie.
Yeah, starring Tom Hanks and Emma Watson, two mm-hmm. actors that I certainly enjoy very much. And it's about a company that collects all of the information and then about and what they are doing with, I guess the movie is about what they're doing with that information. And like, it's based on a book, but you know, wholly timely Batman.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. I'm sure on some level they clearly intended this to be like a Google allegory.
Or Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably Facebook.
It seems more like Facebook. I was listening to an interview with the guy who wrote the original book, and I believe that the movie hews fairly closely to the book. I haven't read the book and I haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't know for a fact. That was actually an interesting interview. He didn't specify whether or not which it was. I think he didn't use the phrase surveillance capitalism, which came from. Credit where credit's due, and because I'm interested in this company, came from the CEO of Purism, the company making Linux laptops that are specifically geared towards privacy and security. Mm-hmm. Right, it's his term, surveillance capitalism. So the author of the book didn't use that term, and he didn't. But that's he was essentially talking about. That notion and all right. I'd love to know what you think. People that are listening to us.
Yeah, it's...
You can write to us at Context Machine on Twitter.
At Context Machine. Hold on, let me write that down.
Good. All right, you're back to being a good wingman. At...
Got it.
Excellent. You know what I'm going to send? I'm going to send you a nib pen so that you can do the sound effects properly.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Would you like a nib pen?
Yeah, I would totally love one.
Would you use a nib pen if I got you one?
I would absolutely use it.
Would you send me a letter?
I will write you a letter.
If I send you a nib pen and some ink, you'll write me a letter?
Yes.
Will you seal it with wax?
I don't have any wax.
That's not what I asked. Do you have wax, Jeff, or did I say, will you seal it with wax?
So the answer is no, because I don't have wax.
Get wax and a stamp.
Oh, my God. All right. Get
I'll tell you what. I will send you a few beads of wax with the nib pen and the ink, and you can, like, put your thumb down in it.
And I'll get creative with the stamp.
There you go. Get creative with the stamp. All right. Well, this is good.
And you know, as I'm writing the letter, I'll be sitting here going, my dearest Matilda, the dysentery is so much worse this week. We lost 3 lieutenants only on Tuesday.
Exactly. You know, I wrote a letter to someone in that style a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was well received. It was funny. Let me see if there's anything that I could actually quote here, because, you know,
right?
Because
well, you look it up. I have to ask: do nib pens work left-handed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. This missive is according to your desire to acquaint you that life on Laurel Lane continues much as you might expect. I'm delighted to report that dysentery and all other maladies of the body have been kept at bay low those many days. No effluvia of an ill sort assaults our olfactory senses, and all have obtained adequate access to the baths. I received your last letter many days ago, and it is with great interest I learned another speeds its way through the post towards me even now. Etc.
What is it with us and dysentery?
Well, it's a whole nother show.
Seriously. Yeah. But yeah, we both do the dysentery thing and like every one of our antiquated bits.
Yes. It's true. It's a good,
it's probably because we're old enough that we remember Oregon Trail, where everyone died of dysentery.
Yeah, that's probably it. Although, spoiler, I didn't actually play Oregon Trail when I was a kid. But before you start freaking out on me about that, mm-hmm. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Can Apple stores be community centers?
No, not in their current form. Okay.
And that's this week's Apple Context. All right. So I asked the question in the context of Angela Arendt's saying that the Apple stores are being redesigned because Apple wants them to become community centers where people hang out.
Right. And I think they need to do more to make the stores a compelling hangout location. Doing all this stuff with education, the free seminars and the workshops, I think that's fantastic, and I'm really glad they're doing that. And I think that's going to be something that actually empowers a lot of people, because they'll find that with the tools they already have or didn't even realize they had, they can do something that's really exciting for themselves and their business, their families, whoever, their friends. But the way Apple stores work, they're not designed to encourage people to just come hang out. And I think even with the new, what's the program called, Today at Apple?
Yes.
That's not going to encourage people to stay. It will encourage people to show up for an event and then leave. I think okay. what they right. need to get people to look at their stores as just the place you hang out, they need to create a sort of a lounge sort of environment. And I don't mean like a sleazy bar sort of thing, but like your local coffee shop. It has sort of a lounge feel. It's a place you can go and just sit down and hang out. People, when they need a break from whatever their current work environment is, they go to a coffee shop. You are traveling and you need to handle some email or work on an article, whatever, while you're out of town, you look for a coffee shop. And that's what Apple needs to do with their stores to
what open a like install some baristas.
Yeah, actually, yeah, they need to put a coffee no. shop.
Well, no, that doesn't make it. No,
have
no,
you no, been no, into no, a no, Barnes no, and no. Noble?
Yeah,
Barnes and Noble has Starbucks in the store, and Barnes and Noble in many areas is a hangout destination because people can go in, grab a book off the shelf, or sit down with their laptop,
yeah.
get a coffee, and hang out.
One of the things that Barnes & Noble did from the get-go, and Borders did this too, is put places where people could actually just sit down and read.
Yeah, Starbucks. Apple needs something like that. You need a place
where you can just go and sit down. I don't think Apple needs to serve coffee to do that.
No,
I agree with. Okay, but, there's a couple of things that Apple is doing right now, mm-hmm. where they're putting the Genius Groves to replace the Genius Bar, so that basically the Genius comes and sits down with you, as opposed to like putting the bar between you and them. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing. And then Apple is also putting places for people just to sort of hang out, sit. Mm-hmm. But I think that if Apple really wants people to hang out, they would need to put, I think that the presence of tables for people to work at.
Oh yeah. That yes.
I think they don't need to do a coffee shop, because goodness gracious, I mean that would probably be the best way to lower the dollars per square foot that they're bringing in.
Oh yeah,
they don't need to be selling $5 cups of coffee to get people to hang out. They need to have a place where people can actually sit and work to hang out. Right,
and that's what I really mean about the coffee shop thing. It's not so much about can you buy a drink in the store. It's do you have the rest of the coffee shop set up? There's a little table you can put your laptop on. There's a place you can plug in your charger for your iPhone. And it's set up so that it's easy to just be there, like a coffee shop.
Yeah. Right, with power and things like that. And mm-hmm. but not the coffee isn't the issue there. It's actually having the places where you can sit and work.
Exactly.
Now, I think that what Apple is doing, though, does make Apple a good meeting place for a lot of people. And I think that that's something that can happen, in fact, organically, where people say, hey, let's meet at the Apple store. But there's a difference between meeting at the Apple store and having a meeting at the Apple store.
Yeah, meeting at the Apple store, sure. Having a meeting at the Apple store is going to start with, hey, let's swing by Starbucks and grab a coffee and then go sit at the Apple store.
Right. But, it's easier to, it's a... the last place I personally want to hang out is a Starbucks in a mall.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the Starbucks people call those mall bucks.
Yeah.
Mall bucks tend to be incredibly high volume, noisy places that are very specifically designed not to be hangout places, because they want to turn people in and out as quickly as possible.
Sure. That makes sense.
And that's something that Apple can actually doesn't have to worry about so much with the Apple stores, because their Apple stores are so profitable, and they're mm-hmm. They're already sort of a destination store to begin with. They're like the smallest destination store in the mall.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I hadn't been really factoring in the whole inside the mall aspect to the stores. Because the Apple stores that I most often frequent are part of outdoor malls.
Mm.
So you have a Starbucks that will be part of the mall, but it will be like a regular Starbucks. Well, it is a regular Starbucks. And it's set up with the tables and the all the chairs and everything. So it's a hangout place. Unlike the inside the mall kind, which I totally know what you're talking about. They have a weird layout. You don't feel comfortable being in there. And if you do sit down, you don't want to sit for long.
Everything that Starbucks does is by very careful design.
Oh yeah.
Right. So there's a reason why there's no comfy chairs. And actually, Starbucks has been taking out comfy chairs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At all their locations. But there's no comfy chairs. There's no real sit down and you know grab yourself a seat and work kind of space in the mall up or in the mall bucks, because they don't need or want that.
Right.
And so anyway, the point is that I think that Apple, with what they're doing right now, they can make organically Apple stores more and more of a place where people meet, where they set it up as the spot where, you know, you go there and I'll go there and then we'll look around until we find each other. But I don't think that they can make Apple stores a place where people just hang out unless they put in things like tables and chairs.
Yeah.
And they've got some chairs, right? They've got the beanbags and the you know, the rolly ball chairs.
Yeah, but you're not going to pull out your laptop and work on email on a beanbag chair at Starbucks or Apple.
At an Apple store, yeah. I'm not. You probably won't either. Maybe that's what the kids can do it as they're being the product.
Yeah, there you go.
See how I just brought it all back together.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that.
So all of that said, I am very interested in what Apple is doing with the Apple stores.
So am I. I'm going to be watching this closely because, well, of course, we both have a very vested interest in how this plays out because we want to write about it. But yeah, I think this is a great thing. Overall, it's something that I remember from back in the days when I worked for REI. I taught a lot of classes, and it was a great community thing because people would sign up for the free classes that we taught because there was something that they really wanted to learn. It was really important to them for the trip they were going on or whatever. And making that a bigger part of what Apple is doing, I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. And I imagine that John Keat, I already caught wind of him just ranting and fuming, and he doesn't like Angela Arendt, and he's just wrong. So I imagine we'll end up arguing about this on this week's Pop.0.
I bet you will. And sometimes I think it's hard for John to remember that the entire Apple ecosystem isn't revolving around his needs. It's revolving around what the real world needs.
You know, I say that with love too. I have told him that with love, and he you're going to be shocked by this. He takes offense.
No. And I'm sure he says something John. Like, "Dearest Brian, my sweetest fellow." My dearest Brian, sweet fellow, I take umbrage.
Sweeps you under the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what he does. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the chat. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll send you my therapy bill later.
Oh, great.
No, wait. You send me your therapy bill.
Even better.
I'll pay your therapy bill later. That's actually what I meant.
Even better. Cool. All right. Well, let's see. I think there's a button here that if I hit it, it automatically prints out your bill. Let's try that. No, it doesn't. But it lets me say, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
I thought maybe that one would print the bill.